Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Yes! Good morning!
Oh, there was our little Mercury retrograde in action.
I was just thinking as I was waiting for you to work all of that out that we've really been quite fortunate during this Mercury retrograde. We have not had a lot of this sort of thing, so much to be grateful for.
Yes. Okay. Well, our assignment from yesterday was, the hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. The equations of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate always add up to something wrong, not enough. The only arithmetic the ego excels at is that which measures the negative. The generosity of life is on a scale that is beyond ego's calculus. We have to step into conscious, compassionate awareness to grasp the magnitude of life's abundance. Today, master the mathematics of awareness and count your blessings by simply being present to them. Accord and listen.
All right.
Well, my cue has disappeared, Sherry, so let me just get
back,
all right?
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Such a helpless feeling, isn't it?
I know.
When all our beautiful technology.
All right.
Doesn't.
Here we go. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. It's Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, I hadn't called in a while, but the quote about math did make me think that the guy who made that quote didn't take university math.
I see. All right. Well, what are you seeing?
But about blessings, I guess I think a lot or I reflect a lot on my bodhisattva horse in heaven.
And that's an experience of gratitude?
Yeah, but gratitude is just like way too paltry a word. It's almost like I get an overwhelming energy in my body.
Mm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And is that enjoyable?
I don't know. It just feels really intense.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And do you count that, though, as one of your blessings?
Yeah, like a blessing of 10,000 lifetimes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, that would be intense then, wouldn't it? We would not
yeah.
expect that to be any other way.
It's really intense. It's like I experienced the kingdom of heaven.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Bliss. Joy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Divine bliss, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't take that experience happening too often before we realize what's possible for us.
Yeah. It was like a gateway or a portal that enabled me to see to another place, even if I can't always connect with it, I know it's there.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is what to me is the, well, I don't know. I would say, you know, one of the top 10 blessings of awareness practice. That we realize what's possible for us. Are we always there? No. But the time before we realize what's possible for us, for me anyway, I don't know about everybody else, but it was bleak.
Yeah.
there was sort of a guessing or a hoping or a whatever that there's more, but there wasn't a real experience of it. And then to have that experience, it's like true north, right? Now we know where we're headed. Now we know what we're going for.
Yeah, and it just felt like this divine grace that was just so different from all of the rest of life, even though it wasn't a duality, but all of the rest of life experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a true blessing. And one to be grateful for. You know, it sounds like you have this, you've had this with some regularity, which is truly miraculous, because it seems to me to have that kind of experience once in a lifetime is grace beyond, almost beyond anything we can ever hope for.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Okay,
thank
you, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Well, that's why we just have to be present to the blessing, Sherry, and
yeah.
Any attempt to quantify or measure it is so impossible.
Yeah. Well, and what, you know, what Elizabeth just, the word that she used was the portal.
Yes.
No, that's what we're, as Ashwini would say, calibrating to. Right?
Yes.
There's
yes.
Even if it's an intuitive sense of what's possible, we're recalibrating all the time, closing in on, getting closer to, aligning ourselves with, choosing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have another caller here, Sherry. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, good morning, Sherry. Good morning, Ashwini. This is Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
So what stuck with me really from that assignment was count your blessings by being present. And So normally kind of what, like the first instinct is to list all of the things I'm grateful for in the moment and try to quantify them.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of dropped in about that is that it's not quantifiable, but, you know, kind of going to that place where I'm grateful for this and I'm grateful for this also excludes all of the blessings, like the wholeness of that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of that conversation you guys were just mentioning, just that overwhelmingness of blessing in the present moment. And that as soon as like the process or just, yeah. So the first part was trying to quantify it and list your blessings reduces it in somehow versus just being
right.
present in that blessing.
Right. Right. It reduces it to content, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And what you're pointing at is the process of
right.
a blessed. Yeah. And that by
yeah.
being present to it, by being present, we express our our gratitude, our, all of those, everything that isn't that falls away.
Yeah, and just, I was feeling like by being present allowed me to take that in, to be present with it, I guess.
Yes.
And as soon as I try to measure that in some way, it's siphoning off the energy and attention from being able to just simply be present and take it in.
Yes,
Yes,
or we could even say the way you're describing it, that there's an experience of disappearing into it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right? If I'm listing all the things for, I'm definitely an I. I'm the subject and those are the objects, right? But the way you're talking about it, there's a sense of just disappearing into the process of blessing.
Yeah, I love the way that you put that. Because that is what that is, right? Because as soon as I try and list it, I'm putting myself at the center. But just by being present, it's a process of taking out that there's one person benefiting from some kind of specific thing in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, the eye just disappears.
Yeah.
And then there's just, we could say, just one blessing. Presence.
And then the other thing that came up with that, and it's really, I've really been appreciating in the Enneagram class, really that focus on process. It's really been helping me move from being content focused into more process focused. And so I was with that in this assignment, just that on even that micro level of being present to your blessings in the moment. And so this morning I was meditating and I had everything I needed. I'm traveling at the moment, so you know, I'm kind of cobbling together the time and the space and materials, internet connection, those kinds of things for practice. And I noticed myself thinking 5 minutes ahead to the call. And, well, am I going to have an internet connection? Am I going to have a phone I can use? Where am I going to find it? And versus in this moment, I had everything that I needed. There was no lack. Mm-hmm. And when it came time for the call, I had everything I needed to participate. And just that, again, thinking of the process and noticing what pulled me out of feeling that I have everything I need in the moment is just thinking 5 steps ahead, 5 minutes ahead, starts to create a process of I need things I don't have right now.
And what's so fascinating about what you're laying out is you didn't need them then.
Right, exactly.
Right? That's the part we miss. And also that in 5 minutes, if those things aren't there, you will still have everything you need.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was I think of that micro levelness of it, that it was literally 5 minutes. And it's like, well, of course you would start worrying about what you need in 5 minutes. And like, you've got a plan. And it was just like, no, in this moment, I have everything that I need. And like you said, 5 minutes from now, that will also be true.
Yes. If we don't go into a conversation about what I need, and how it's missing, and I need to make it. If we don't get pulled into that conversation, then even if you didn't have an internet connection and you weren't on this call, right, you would still have everything you need. That's the just mind-boggling truth of the matter.
Yes.
That is lacking anything, and every moment is our best opportunity to see whether we choose that or follow ego down a path of this is what's wrong and this is what's missing and this is the problem and this is why you have to.
That conversation or that choice is so a moment-by-moment choice. Like, in every moment, I feel like I can choose that conversation. It's just sitting right there waiting for me to pay attention to it. Or I can make a different choice.
Yes, which is why I tend to think thank you is the very best focus of attention all the time. Because it brings, you know, it has a tendency to bring us to gratitude. Gratitude for what? Yes. Yes, for everyone and every how. Yeah, thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for everything and to everyone. on this call.
All right. Take care. Travel safely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. Bye. Oh, that was just such a beautiful call, Sherry. It just made my heart open up because it was pointing to that place of presence as the only way to experience life outside of the conditioned process that always reduces life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, it has to because it is a limit. It's limited by definition. So to be able to experience the magnitude of all of our blessings, the only way to do it is to be present to them. The only way to know that we're completely self-sufficient in a moment is to be present to it, because any deviation from presence is a reduction.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's portal, as we were talking about earlier, right? Presence is the portal, and in that way that Zen is so famous for, it's not only opening, it's what is being opened to and what is opening.
Yeah. Or as Rumi says, the lover, love, and the lover, beloved, dissolving into loving.
Yes. The lover, beloved, dissolving into loving. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. It's Colin here in England.
Well, hello, Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Hi there. Yes, no, I've just got through quite a bit of resistance to put myself in the queue. It's been a few weeks or more since I've been in the queue. So anyway, I'm through that now. And
good. Put that behind us. You're here now. All right.
I'm here. Yes, that's right. And yes, with this the counting thing, I was noticing I seem to spend a lot of time counting things during the day, really what I've seen is it does bring it back to the content. It's sort of counting stuff, and I was in process like kindness. I can't sort of count kindness or abundance. It can't sort of be counted. So I was seeing that, but there's a particular thing going on with time, really, that I can see in many ways the content that I don't have any needs, and you know, all my needs are being met, but I'm getting hooked in around time, that the arithmetic thing is that condition is saying, well, that this is the number of hours in the day, and then this, it seems like another voice comes in that says, yes, and this is all the things that need to be done today, and it does A minus B, and I'm straight into negative, not enough time, I'm into lack, not enough, and it's I hadn't really sort of noticed it before, but it's particularly around time, and I've sort of tried to refute that you know, what gets done is what needs to be done, it's kind of not the same as being present, that like this now is the only time that there is, and that is sufficient now, I think. But I'm just kind of getting a bit lost, really, about where to go with that. So I don't know if you've got any guidance you could give me on that.
Well, interesting one, Colin, because the conditioning around what you're grappling with is just enormous, isn't it? I mean, it is everywhere. If there's one thing that if we could say regularly is, I'm so busy, right? I'm so busy. There's so much to do that I don't have enough time, right? It's just whether we say it out loud or we hear it in our head, it's just a constant refrain. And all of that based on this imaginary life that we're living, the life of ego, where there's a program, there's a list, there's all this stuff that needs to happen outside of life. and the belief that that's how it needs to be, that if we just slipped into the moment, dropped all of that, we wouldn't get anything done, we'd never be on time, probably lose your job, starve to death, right? Because ego is what's making everything happen. And that's the big hurdle we need to get on the other side of, to realize that all ego is contributing to our lives is that kind of conversation that we were just talking about with Kate, right, where it's always anywhere from 1 minute to several years ahead looking at what needs to be done. And what we fail to realize is I have everything I need right now, and actually everything is happening perfectly.
Yes, yeah, so I think that's quite a big thing for me at the moment. And what I'm seeing is it's kind of robbing me of the present moment, that it's all there in the present moment, and it's kind of just stealing it from me every day. Snatching it away,
exactly.
And then I get caught round and round in circles chasing after it. And, oh, it's robbed me of the day has been stolen from me, kind of thing, every day.
Yes.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
And a practice, a very concrete practice can use is to say, what now, life? What now, life?
Uh-huh.
What now, life? And everything that is Colin's life is going to happen in response to that question. And that will include everything, all the work, all the chores, all the commitments, all the obligations that comprise Colin's life. They'll all be handled perfectly in response to that question. What now?
Okay, so that's my mantra, what now, life, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's
okay.
It's really significant that it's not what's next, which is what ego has people looking at. Okay, well, what's next? No, we're not going for next. As next. Oh, that's a good book title.
Yes.
Nothing happens next. yeah. It's what now.
Yes. What now, life? Okay, what now? Okay, and that sort of brings you back to now, doesn't it? Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then we pause.
Oh, great.
Right? So there's the question, what now, life? And then we pause. And what we get to see is how ego, a nanosecond after the question, jumps right in to give an answer. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for that still small voice, that quiet guidance that reveals to us.
And because I'm not open to that when I'm thinking about what's next. It's, you know.
Oh, no, we're not. No. And ego is never open to that, right? Because that would be giving up the reins. Relinquishing the wheel.
Yeah.
Its ego's never going to do that. And it's going to fight. And that's what makes it such brilliant awareness practice, because you'll see it right there. You'll see ego scrambling to insert itself and prevent us from hearing, receiving, sensing life's guidance, which is much more subtle. So ego will be screaming, and what we're listening for, the tune is very subtle, and that's the whole process right there. And we can do it moment by moment by moment.
Right. What now, life? Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's really
welcome.
Really helpful.
You let me know, okay? you let me know.
I will do. Yes, that's my next. Project, I will say. Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. Sherry, we have only 3 more minutes. Shall I bring another caller in, or shall we talk about what we just talked about and look at our next assignment?
Yeah, let's do that. And That's true. Yeah.
Because what was dropping in for me around that call, around what now versus what next, someone was mentioning it in the practice weekend, how transformative that shift in focus is. It was one of those mind-blowing moments of guidance, because what next puts us in reference to conditioned mind, whereas what now requires us to tune into presence, into life. It's what Kate was saying, that if I'm here, I'm not reducing all of what's here to what's next, which is a limited perspective. So there is no scarcity in the moment.
Yes. Yes. In fact, it is the fast track to abundance because there's no separation. There's everything. All
into the process of gratitude, which is what we were talking about with Elizabeth, that it opens up to the process of experiencing the overwhelming abundance of existence and of time and space and everything else, which is what we move out of whenever we reference that planning process that wants to divide up life into what do I do next and how much I do. It's the mathematics. It's what the quote was about. The mathematics of whatever, counting your blessings, is something we don't ever master, because counting it implies we're in a process that can never measure it. And that's what Colin was talking about time, and Kate was talking about presence, and Elizabeth was talking about overwhelm. And that's really what it is. The mathematics of awareness is the only way we can experience the abundance of all that is, because we don't move into a process of reductionism. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so simple.
Yes.
Right? It's
and
so
obvious.
Simple. And so obvious. Yeah, as soon as we see it. And then, you know, like all good conditioned humans, we get swept up. We get carried away. And we find ourselves in another opportunity to see this, to recognize it, to be free of it. So, you know, it's not like we're going to, at least in my experience, we're not going to get somewhere and just be able to brush our little hands together and say, whew, glad that's done. You know, we just get swept up into the next opportunity to have this experience.
Yeah, and to surround ourselves with these kind of mirrors in order to be able to do that. Someone who will tell you, look at what's next, what's now, not what's next.
Yes, well, that's why we want to be in practice, don't we? Because, as you say, without these constant mirrors, we get swept up, but we don't recognize that what we're swept up in is an opportunity to let go, choose life, be present. We don't see that. We believe that what we've been swept up into is real life, where I need to do, and I'm too busy, and there's too much, and I need to do it later, and I don't have time to practice, and love, who has time for that? Kindness? Oh, no, I'm way too busy. Way too busy.
Well, here's an interesting perspective in our next assignment. I want a busy life, a just mind, and a timely death. If we reframe this quote in the context of practice, we might say we want to practice compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, and compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. Nirvana, no wind, is a lovely way to describe the absence of the ego. When compassion informs our endeavors and wholehearted attention is our attitude of mind, we experience a timely death of the I. Today, explore contentment by bringing compassion to what you do and mindfulness to how you do what you do. Record and listen.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
Especially that timely, we experience a timely death of the ego. That ego, though, is able to just die over and over and over and come right on roaring back again. So, no danger there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Go
everybody.
Happy.
Go happy. Yes, treasure yourself. Don't forget that. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.